Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Bernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
Brothers and sisters and church, I want to thank each one of you for joining us again tonight. Last night, we started a message, and as I shared with you, the title of the message, for those of you who like to title it, is called The Law versus Christianity. And this is an extremely important message. It'll probably take all week for me to really do justice to this and to bring it across in the way the Lord has told me to. But this is an eternal teaching, and it's very important that you hear and that you understand what God is saying to you. Last night we spoke on the gift of discernment within the church, and basically the things that are going on, the false doctrine that is being taught, all for the sake of money. And believe me, they raise multitudes of millions of dollars. And that people would begin to go before the Lord Jesus Christ and find out what Jesus wants you to do with the money that He's given you. One of the things I want to talk to you about is tithing. I love this particular part because it drives the pastors nuts. And it takes them 3 or 4 weeks to really con their flock back into falling into the same sin all over again. I have shared many times, and I will share again, there is no such thing in the New Testament as tithing. It doesn't exist. It's not there. You people that have been taught to give 10% of what you've got to the church every week, and you do that religiously, and you think that's pleasing God, I'm going to show you the scriptures where God says He's utterly disgusted and He's angry that you are doing that. But worse yet, I will show you the scriptures, not one, not two, but 10, 20 scriptures that you will know that it is continuous. Where the Word of God says if you do that, you get into that 10% tithing thing, you have severed your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now hopefully I don't have to tell you what happens if you've severed your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the end, you don't go to heaven to be with Him. No, you go to hell. You know, hell is an interesting subject. The judgment seat of Christ. Imagine that. You know, even Nixon's 18, 22 minutes, whatever it was on the tape, suddenly they'll be back. Every sin that they ever committed in secret will be screamed from the housetops. Everybody will know. It'll all come forth. It'll come pouring out. And people still think they're hiding it from God. And all of this is going to come out. To begin with, tithing is an Old Testament part of the law. Jesus came and was crucified, was resurrected in glory and ascended into heaven, that He might do away with the law. He said, I came to fulfill it. And the New Testament tells us if you do any of it, if you do one part of it, then you have to do all of it. And if you don't, you have severed your relationship with Jesus Christ. You have pushed away the grace of God. To begin with, the tithing in the Old Testament was given in produce, wheat, barley, potatoes, tomatoes, I don't know, onions. You're going to tithe, at least tithe right. Bring in a 100-pound sack of potatoes and give them to the guy as he's pushing the plate by. When he asks you what you're doing, say, I'm following God's word. What are you doing? Bring a lot of potatoes if you go to one of these big meetings, because they take 5 and 6 offerings. You need to understand that you have to come out of the law. You have to enter in to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, into the rest of Jesus Christ. I'm not in religion. I'm not searching. We are in Christ. We rest from our labors, as Jesus did and told us to do. I'm a receiver. God's the giver. I'm more than happy to let God give, and I'm more than happy to receive. The New Testament tells us that God is not your big banker in the sky. Do you really think God is not going to be able to make it if you don't pay your $30 or $10 or whatever it is? Believe me, God can pay his own bills. He doesn't need your help. But if you give the extra money that you have because some man told you to do it, and then God does speak to you and say, send so much money to the family that I have in Mexico or in Africa or in Trinidad or something. You don't have the money to obey God anymore because you obeyed man. Don't listen to man, listen to God before it's too late, before you really get in trouble with the Lord. The hour is late. Brothers and sisters, church, we have got to get a hold of the time. We've got to discern the time. We've got to live by faith. The Word of God said when Jesus comes, will he find faith? Or will he find you trying to live underneath part of the law without doing the rest? Let me tell you this. If you're going to tithe 10% of what you get to your church, then you better start doing ceremonial washing before you eat. You better get back around to ceremonial foods, circumcision, and everything else that goes with the law. Stoning. When somebody does certain things in your church, you take them outside the church and you get a dump truck load of stones and you murder them, you stone them to death right there. Because the Word of God in the New Testament says you can't do one part of the law unless you do it all. And nobody can do it all. You can't live underneath the law. There was only one who could do that. His name was Jesus, and he did it to fulfill the law. But in the New Testament, there is no tithing. But you know what it does say? God says he wants something from you, all right. But it's not 10%. God says he wants 100% of you. He wants everything. He said to lay your living body upon the altar as a reasonable sacrifice. Nothing big, no big deal. That's your reasonable sacrifice. To give your body unto God. To give your members, your voice, your legs, your arms unto God. Because he may want you to go someplace. Jesus still has a body here on earth. It's your legs and mine, your arms and mine, your voice and my voice. And he desires to use it. And the Lord will send you out to speak unto other people, to lay hands on them, to pray with them. For Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, the government of heaven. Actually, it's the expansion of it. Evangelism, the truth of the gospel. And all these other things will be given unto you. Think your Father doesn't know what you have in need of? Do you understand that you can go before God boldly? That's what the Word of God says. We can go before the throne boldly. Why can we go boldly before the throne of God? What gives us that right? The Word of God said that the kingdom of Jesus Christ is built on righteousness and justice, and of his government there shall be no end. It shall expand forever. There shall be no end to it. It is built on righteousness and on justice. You know what righteousness is? You know what that word means? Rights. Your rights. Think of it this way, if you would. You have parked your car and your beautiful travel trailer out in front of your home, and you parked it off the road where it's supposed to be parked. You're in the right spot. Everything that you did is legal. You leave the car there and lock it up, and you go in the house to get something that you're going to take with you. And while you're in the house getting it, somebody pulls up and they hit your trailer and your car, and they tow them both out. Now, irregardless of where you're from, at least in the United States, you have a right to go to court. And once you get to court, you have a right to tell the judge what's happened, and you have a right to receive compensation for the damages. And this man's insurance company will then pay for it. In a lot of ways, that it's the same in the Word of God. If we have obeyed God, if we have walked in holiness, repentance before God, if we have done what God has told us to do, we have a right. We have a right to go before God. I have a right. He said, I am the Lord thy God that supplieth all of thy need. God called me to go out and preach his gospel. He said, go all over the world and preach my gospel. Now when God tells me to go to Trinidad or go to Europe or wherever, I don't get a gun and go rob a bank. I don't start passing out Kentucky Fried Chicken boxes or selling all these little trinkets. But I simply go before God. Yes, Lord. Your servants has heard you, Lord. I thank you, God. I'm anxious to go. Lord, send in the finances. Or open the door. I don't care. You carry me over there on the back of an eagle. Translate me however you want me there. Just open the door. I'll go. I have a right. I also got a choice. I can go before God with my right. And God, as always, is trustworthy and honest, and he will open the door. And he will supply the airplane tickets or whatever I need, depending on where I'm going. Or I can refuse God and turn around and walk away. And maybe, like Jonah, I can wind up taking the Whale Express. But one way or the other, when everything's said and done, it's still going to be on the mind of God. Wherever he told me to go, his mind ain't going to change. I'm going to wind up there. It's up to me how I get there. Same with you. It doesn't change. God's not a respecter of persons. Once you understand the right that you have, and you go before the throne boldly, because you've become honest before God, you have walked in holiness and repentance before God, you have a changed life. You're a new creation in Christ. And you're a married man with children, we'll just say, for example. And you're out of work. And you're in a right standing with God. And the Lord says, he who shall not work shouldn't eat. So you go before God, and Lord, I have done what you told me to do. I have obeyed you, Lord, in everything that I know. Father God, send your Holy Spirit and search my heart. If there be anything there that's wrong, Father, reveal it to me. But Father, if I've done all that I know how to do, Father, if I have walked in holiness and repentance the way you told me to, if I have obeyed your word, then Lord, I have a right by your word. You said that you would take care of my needs. You said that I was to work and support my family. So God, I'm asking you right now to open a door that I can get a job, that I can go to work, that I can support my family. Church, let me share just one miracle with you, just one miracle. Several years ago, the Lord spoke to me one night and he said, I want you to go to Grenada. And I said, yes, Lord. I didn't even know where it was. I had to get my wife up and get a map a world map and find it to find out where I was going. We had three sons. I've got three sons. I think at the time I may have had $50 to my name. And my wife said, how are we going to get to Grenada? And I said, God will provide. He always does. And the next day, the very next day, we were driving downtown. A true story. We were driving downtown, and my wife was driving, and I was sitting on the other side, and I was in prayer and seeking the Lord. And I happened to look up for a second, and there was a great big billboard up there. And I said, honey, stop. And fortunately, there was a light right there, and she stopped anyway. She stopped at a red light. And I looked up, and there was a guy's picture on it, and there was a big phone number underneath it. And the Lord said, that man has your tickets. So I quickly wrote down the phone number it was. I didn't even look to see what kind of a business it was, or whether he was running for office or what. I didn't care. He had my tickets. So I had her pull over to a phone booth, and I explained to her what had happened. I said, God gave me a word of knowledge. That guy back there on the billboard, it had his picture on that billboard. He's got our tickets. And then I did the manly thing. I said, here, you call. Because I couldn't think of what to say. My wife, being a very beautiful, wonderful, submissive wife, looked at me and said, okay. And she went over to the phone booth and she called them. She got them on the phone. She introduced herself. And she said, I know this is going to sound very, very strange to you. And I just asked that you would hear me through on this. She said, my husband and I serve the Lord and have for many, many years. And God has told us that we are to go to Grenada. And we have three boys, and we had no idea how we were going to get there. But this morning, I really don't know you or know who you are, but this morning God showed us a billboard, and he gave my husband a word of knowledge, and he said, you had our tickets. And she was going to ask him to pray about that, but before she could do that, the man started to cry. And he said to my wife, we own such and such travel company. It was a very large travel company. He said, and every morning before we go to work, before we start work, our entire crew meets, he said, and we pray and see if the Lord would have us to do anything, specifically. He said, and this morning, as we went into prayer, the Lord brought forth the word, which is an unusual thing with us. He said, but God brought forth the word. There was a word of prophecy came forth. And the Lord said, this day will I have my servants call thee, and this day I want you to meet their needs to take care of them. I still have it to this day because I saved it. And he said, where did you say you wanted to go again? And we told him Grenada, and he looked it up and told us where the airport was in St. George's. That was the capital of it. And he said, I will have the tickets ready for you by this afternoon. So we went out to lunch, and then we drove up to where this guy's a huge travel agency, where it was, and walked in there, and the man had six tickets. They were already in the envelopes, and they were what's called open-end tickets. People who fly a lot would know what that means. That means expensive. That means you can go and come back whenever you want for up to a year. And even at that time, that was many, many years ago, and they were $1,000, $1,200 a piece, something like that at that time. And there was five of us, so with the tax and everything, it was like $6,000. That was a long time ago, and that was a lot. It's a lot of money today. But he had it, and he had it ready. Because he was a servant, a son of the Most High God. Because he walked in holiness and repentance, and God had blessed him and prospered him. And God spoke to him because he walked with God. And we went for what we thought might be a month crusade or something like that. And we spent a little over a year. And the church was built, and the church was filled, and it's still filled today, the same church. And I thank God for lasting fruit. But what we're talking about is your right. Your right before God for certain needs in your life to be met. And that's the subject that we're covering this week. Because there's so many people that are hurting today, the workouts of my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Church, it breaks my heart. I don't want to see anybody destroyed. I don't want to see anybody without a job. Now, Grenada at that time when we got there was in a depression, the depth of which was hard to comprehend. But I remember the first night in that service, when it came time for prayer, whereas in the United States it's just about all healing or a lot of other things that people don't even need. I'm not saying you don't need healing, don't get me wrong, but anyway, in this group, just about every person in that line was a man, which surprised me. Normally it's women. And they all had the same prayer request. And when they would get up to me, I would say, "Brother, what is it you would have me to pray for?" And they would say, "I haven't worked for a year, 2 years, 3 years. There's no jobs on the island. The island's only like 8 miles long and 6 miles across or something. It's not very big. There's no jobs here. There's no industry. I can't support my family." And we would pray that God would open up a job, employment for these men. And several of them, in fact, many of them said to me, "How can that possibly happen? I just told you there is no industry, there is no job, there's nothing to be had. The Lord would have to take it away from somebody else to give it to me." And I said, I don't know. And I don't care. What I do know is that God said if we would pray, He would do it. Our job is to pray. It's God's job to do it. We'll receive. Maybe God will fire all the unsaved and bring all His children into work. I don't know. But let's let God do it. He told us to have faith and believe. Can you do that? And they all said, yes. I said, well, I can too. Then I'll believe with you. True story, true story. There's a corporation from the United States, sheet metal fabricators. I'll probably think of their name before the week is over with, and I'll tell you, because right now it doesn't come to me. But within about 5 or 6 days, unbeknown to me, as we had prayed that first night in that service, unbeknown to me, they had already been in negotiations with the government of Grenada. I remember what it was rigid paneling. And they had signed contracts with the government, and while we were there, like I say, in about a week or 2 weeks' time, I don't remember exactly, a long time ago, they opened a huge factory there on the island. They were hiring literally a couple thousand people. And everybody that wanted to, that was in that prayer line that night, got hired on at that factory. Now tell me God doesn't know what you have a need of. God will move heaven and earth to answer your prayers if you walk in holiness and repentance and obey the Lord. Think about it. God had a bunch of unsaved businessmen from the U.S. move all the way over there into that Caribbean country and open up this huge factory that God could have all of His children employed. And I have no doubt that God blessed those people that owned that factory abundantly. I have no doubt that He blessed them abundantly. Because that's the way God operates. But do you see what I mean? If you have a right relationship with God, Jesus said, "Ask what you would in my name, and it shall be done unto thee. Believe that you have received it, and you'll see it manifested. It'll come to pass. God will bring it." 35 years I've served the Lord. He has never let me down once. I've never had a day that God has not supplied my need. I've never been any place in this world, and we have been all over the world at least a half a dozen, 10 times. God has always supplied our needs, no matter what they are. And as I say, I have five in my family, so it's rather expensive. And now, of course, we have a music ministry and the youth team and the evangelistic team, and it's very, very expensive. But every time God tells us to go, He supplies the money to go. Or He supplies the tickets. It doesn't have to be money. Understand that. Don't ask God for money all the time. Just bring your needs before Him. There's a multitude of ways that God will answer your need. One of my sons came to me, and he said, "Dad, our car," he's married, and he said, "our car is very old and it's beat up and having a lot of problems with it, and I was wondering if you and Mom would pray with my wife and I that I could get a new pickup truck. What I want is a pickup truck." And I said, "Absolutely," and we prayed that night. And my son is a minister of the Lord, thank God. I've got three sons. They're all ministers. They're all miracle sons, because we were not supposed to have children, but God gave us three, and they're all preachers. And I just thank and I bless God and I give Him all the glory. Anyway, we prayed and we shared with the Lord, and the need that He had of this, it wasn't a luxury, this was a need. And about 45 minutes later, my wife asked him if he would go to the store and get us some milk and bread that we would have it the next morning. He said, "Sure, Mom." When he gets there, remember, we only prayed an hour and a half before this, a guy comes up to him, drives up in a black Ford F-10 or whatever they have, pickup, exactly what he prayed for, gets out and comes over to him and he says, "You know, I've been looking for a car like yours, a Mustang, for years." He said, "If you want, I'll trade you even up." An hour and a half, 2 hours later, my son's prayer was answered. He's driving that car today. He's here in the studio with me today. He has that car. He believed God. And that's what I'm asking you to do. Tonight and throughout this week, I'm asking you to trust God, to believe God. I'm asking you to walk in holiness and repentance before God. And as we share this week, to listen. If you've been given an ear to hear, listen, that you might know what God has called you for, and that you might receive the fullness of what God has for you, that there would be no need in you or your family, that God would be glorified by your bearing much fruit. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time for the Alarm Call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.